għalkom għal kreativi tabla konfini jiwa program fu Campus FM organizzat mid-Departiment tal-Istoria tal-Arti f'Università ta' Malta. Dan il-program ħaj jiddiskuti arti, riċerka fil-Departiment, kif ukoll avvenimenti kulturali li ser iseħħu fix-xhur li ġejjin. Jiena Audrey Rosnetti u ser kun qed nippreżenta dan il-program flimkien ma' artisti, mużiċisti u studenti li qed jagħmlu riċerka fid-Departiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti.
Okey-dokes. So, hi and welcome to another episode of Creativita Bla Confini. I'm Emma Borge and today I'm being joined with Tom Armitage. Hi Tom.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Would you like to introduce yourself a bit to the listeners? Tell them a bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, as you can probably tell by the accent, I'm not from Malta. I'm definitely English, but I've been living here for a couple of years now. And very much loving Malta as well, I'm going to add that in. Fell in love with the weather straight away. Not so much with the sunburn, but I moved here a couple of years ago. And before I moved here, I was working in England as a pianist and composer. And then moving here, I discovered there's quite a thriving art scene. So I ended up planning to stay a little bit longer than I thought I would. So here I am now, trying to make my way as a composer pianist, and let's see what happens.
You're
from here.
Pretty good so far, let's be honest. Making a name.
It's been a very busy 2 years, that's for sure. The first 6 months was a little bit tense. I moved here initially to study a master's at the University of Malta, and the first 6 months trying to find some work alongside the studies was proving impossible. I thought, there's absolutely nothing here. And then just bit by bit, as work started to come in, I realised there's a little bit more out here than I thought, a bit undercover. And then I think it took me a good 7 or 8 months until I finally got a foothold. And then from then, it's been crazy. There's so many amazing projects going on here in Malta, and I'm so glad to have been a part of so many so far.
Can imagine. Any particular reason why you chose the University of Malta to do your master's?
It's impossible to study in the UK now unless you're a multimillionaire. It's so expensive. I did my undergrad there. I went to music college, and then I wanted to stay on and do a master's, but I was priced out. I couldn't afford it. So I was looking at all the more affordable options. I looked at the Netherlands, I looked at Germany, and then I saw Malta come up, and I thought, well, let's look at the Netherlands and Germany first, because there's definitely a world-renowned art scene there. So I checked them out, and all seemed well and good, and then I thought, let's just have a look at Malta. So I came here for a holiday, and just fell in love with the place. I thought, this will do. This will do. And I came here, and then I discovered there is an art scene as well. So I'm definitely happy with the choice I made in the end.
That story's adorable, actually.
And I hope it's not offensive.
No, it's not offensive in the slightest. It's very honest. I mean, we're not world-renowned. We have, like, most people barely know where Malta is, mm-hmm. let alone understand, like, the whole arts community within it.
But what astonishes me is that the level of talent here. That there are, I'm quite comfortable to say, there are so many people here who could have and are having huge international careers. I'll just speak in the music sense for now. Recently, the opera which was produced at Teatro Manuel in Ozzio di Vigo, we had a lot of Maltese names in it, some of which are doing very, very well for themselves. There's Claire de Bono, for example, who's making quite a name for herself out in Paris. And there's so many other big names on the Maltese art scene who are making a name for themselves abroad as well. So there is talent here, a lot of talent.
No, for sure, there's tons of talent. I really do think that. And I also think it's something, because we're so small, we automatically feel we have to be a bit more ambitious, mm-hmm. because we're aware, okay, it's very concentrated. We're aware of everyone who we're going to be going up against, and let alone the entire world. So we're automatically making ourselves work a bit harder.
Absolutely.
At least that's how I see it. In the music community, also in the arts. So it just comes out like that.
There's also a negative to that. So there is a temptation, being a small island, for people to get a bit too big for their boots too soon, and to think. And the first time this was said to me, I did try to stop myself from laughing out loud, but it was very tempting when someone said to me, I'm quite big here in Malta. Or something along those lines. I'm quite famous here. And I thought, who do you think you are?
That's hilarious, actually. Someone just going up to you like, listen, I'm a really big deal. I'll have you know.
It's a big sign of insecurity, isn't it? Someone's not entirely convinced that they've made it.
No, that's true.
But, you know, you can be big in Malta, and then you can be big.
But that's the thing. Like, once you actually, like, start making a career for yourself in Malta, a lot of people find the need to go away. And just think, like, okay, now it's going to be fine. I've made it here, I can make it there. But that doesn't always work out to a certain extent.
And I think it's when you do, when people do go abroad that they get a bit of a, probably do get a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they come back better. And I'm so glad that there are a lot of Maltese people who have gone abroad to study and are coming back and bringing what they've learned, because it's a good thing that we now live in a very global society. You can live here in Malta, but you're still connected to the outside world. But at the same time, leaving the island, which is what I would really recommend anyone who has the talent enough to do so, leave the island, go and have that abroad experience, preferably to study or to work, and then if they come back, even better. It just enriches the Maltese art scene so much more.
No, I think that's completely accurate in saying. I mean, in any situation, if you go abroad, you come back and you learn so much, if you've done it well. If you're going to go to a holiday where it's like Ayia Napa and you're just going to go wild, okay, you're not going to come back and know anything about that history in the slightest.
You could do both,
Can you? Can you really do both?
I did it.
Okay, maybe you can do both.
But I mean, you're only 18 once, but then...
Oh, yeah.
That's after honest. That, that's after so that you start settling down, then it's time to start working, of course.
Yeah.
But also, there are a lot of foreign artists coming to the island now, both just for work and, in some cases, to live. And there's so much which we can learn from people coming from different cultures. And one thing I think has definitely been highlighted is that a lot of institutions here cannot organise anything. And I think if you come from, I think it's mostly Northern European countries which have this organisation aspect to their way of life. When you come from that background, it's quite a shock when you get to some particular institutions and they cannot organise anything and they have no idea what they're doing. And by foreigners coming in, I think there's also a lot to learn from that as well. We did a production at the Manuel Theatre once again last year. Of Orpheus in the Underworld, and we had a fantastic stage manager who came over from England to work on that, and she was really good because she also helped out at the theatre and she gave some guidance, maybe in some areas which were a little bit weak in organisation. She was there and she said, this is how things would normally work in a big theatre in the UK, for example, and here's a list of notes of what can be done. And fingers crossed, some of those things will be taken on board. And I think a lot of institutions here could learn from something like that.
No, that would be fantastic. A lot of things, unfortunately, when it comes to the arts in Malta, somehow they don't get as much backing as certain other things, let's put it like that, which is very, very unfortunate. You were mentioning the idea of people coming here, spreading their ideas, and we learn from them, and vice versa.
Yeah.
But I think a prime example of that is the Mdina Biennale.
Absolutely.
100%. But you actually performed that, no?
I did, yes. That was my first introduction to Dr. Giuseppe Scrivi-Panacci, actually, at the Biennale. And actually, I'll also take a moment to mention Melanie Erickson as well, who is an absolutely invaluable member of Giuseppe's team, both at the Biennale and also on Strada Stretta concept as well. And she really, really holds things together. She's fantastic. But my first introduction to Giuseppe was at the Mdina Biennale, and it was a really nice experience, actually. I gave a short, I won't call it a piano recital, because it wasn't in a recital setting at all. It was on the staircase of the Cathedral Museum, of all places. It was the perfect place to do it. This particular piece needed a big space, and a staircase is obviously very, very useful because they're so tall. And
yeah.
Stone everywhere, which is very, very good. So it was the perfect space for it to give that performance. And yeah, it was on a digital piano. It wasn't on a real piano, so it did lack in some elements. It was a piece which I'd never performed before until that point. I've released a recording of it when I was in the UK. There is a studio recording out there somewhere on the internet in the depths of iTunes. I've been not quite sure where. Seen it for years. So I'd performed that particular moment of the music. I'd performed that once before, but I'd never performed the whole work in its entirety. So it was nice to give it a bit of a test run. And then I finally, after about 4 years of trying to find a place to perform it, I found the perfect space to perform the entire thing, which Giuseppe very, very kindly gave me the opportunity to do. He enjoyed the first performance of the first snippet of the piece, which I performed at the Biennale, and he said, why don't you do it again on Strada Stretta for the Strada Stretta concept? So I said, okay, let's have a look at what we can do. And they've got this magnificent building, the old Splendid Hotel. I've done a few things there with Giuseppe as well, a few other productions. So I knew the space quite well at that point, and I thought this would be perfect because the inside, it's beautiful. It looks like it should be condemned. It's falling apart. It's crumbling. It's perfectly safe, I've been told. But it's perfectly safe. But it's so rustic and such an unorthodox performance space with great big high ceilings, mm-hmm. which was perfect for me in this particular instance. And the piano, at the time the piano needed a bit of work. It's since been well-tuned and looked after. But on that particular performance, it was bit like a honky-tonk, and it actually suited the piece quite well. It's a rustic piece in a rustic setting on a rustic piano, and it works really well in that sense. So I was very, very happy to perform the full piece for the first time after 4 years since releasing the studio recording in that particular space. We did another event quite recently, and the piano was in beautiful condition, so I can't complain at all.
Was this the event for Furies Only?
That was the Furies Only event. About a year ago, I came into contact with a Dutch composer who's moved to the island. It was just a random Facebook request, and accompanied by this message saying, "Hi, I've discovered you're a composer on the island. I've just moved to the island, and I'm looking to make something of this experience. Any suggestions of maybe what we can do? Is there anything which we can do together, maybe to give this new music scene a bit of a boost where necessary?" So.
It's a pretty bold and, like, grand statement, but okay.
Well, it was an element of also what can we do for ourselves to help ourselves develop whilst we're here as well. And also, where can we find a weak point in the art scene which we can exploit and try to develop in some way? And we thought, well, there is definitely a demand for contemporary music. The art scene for contemporary music is not dead. It's limited, but it's not dead. And we thought we definitely could have an audience here, and what can we do here? And we thought, what's missing? We're really missing a regular platform for contemporary music, for contemporary musicians and contemporary composers to perform new music in all genres. There are a few which have been around, a few platforms, but we thought we can really do something a bit more regular with this. And at the minute, we're in the embryonic stage of concerts, which we've been giving in cafes and bars and in public spaces. We don't have a concert hall, we don't have a real piano or anything. It's very, very basic at this moment in time. But we have produced some very, very lovely concerts and some, quite frankly, terrible concerts as well. There's been some which I'm really, really not proud of.
Again, embryonic stages. So
absolutely, embryonic stages. So, but the one we did recently at the Old Splendid Hotel was by far the best we've given yet. It was so nice to have a real piano for starters. It was well looked after on this occasion as well, so it was in good nick, and we managed to get some funding thanks to Valletta 18 to bring over Gabby Sultana, who is a Maltese contemporary pianist living in Belgium at the moment. She went and studied in the Netherlands, and since then she's settled in Belgium, and she's touring all over the world performing contemporary music, and she plays like a demon. She's absolutely outstanding. So we decided to bring her over for this special Furies Only concert hosted by Stratostretta Concept. And it was such a lovely evening. We had such a good time. We premiered three brand new pieces for piano. One by myself, which I played, another one by Jess Reimer, who is another English composer living on the island, and one by Luc Houtkamp, the Dutch composer I just mentioned, which was the finale of the concert and was given an absolutely storming world premiere by Gabby Sultana, and she really brought the house down. The place was absolutely packed. Every seat was taken. There were people having to stand around the back and some people outside as well just to try and get a seat. So it was our best attended concert, for sure. And I think the name of Gabby Sultana drew a bit of an audience because a lot of people I've spoken to here have definitely mentioned how highly regarded she is. It's a shame that she lives in Belgium. I kind of would have hoped she could have, you know, brought her experience back to Malta, having studied abroad. The piece which she performed by Luc Houtkamp was actually based on the history of Stratostretta, so it was quite a fitting place to perform it in.
What did you think when you found out the history of Stratostretta itself? Like, when you probably walked in the first time, did you have any inkling what it was?
I didn't. I knew about the place when I was moving here. My auntie said to me, "Oh, when you go there, look out for the gut." What the heck is the Gut? I have no idea. I don't know whether it's still known as the Gut or not, or whether that name has died out. But she said apparently when she came here on a holiday, it was known as the Gut. And she said, go and have a look. Don't know what she was thinking I'd do down there, but she told me to check it out. But I had no idea.
It changed a little bit since then, probably. Just a little.
Is it even the same place? Am I thinking of the right street?
I think so. Not sure.
Google.
Yeah. Good old-fashioned Google for
good
it.
Good old-fashioned Google. It was nothing what I expected. And it's amazing to see how that area of Valletta has transformed in the 2 years that I've been here. When I moved here, there wasn't too much going on in that particular area. There was a few bars there, yeah, which was quite nice. But in the past 2 years, and working at the theatre a lot, almost every month I see a new bar popping up or a new restaurant, yeah, either true, on Strada Stretta or on the old theatre street, which runs along the junction. Literally a new restaurant or a new bar every other month, it seems to be.
It's like that for most of Valletta, actually, nowadays, which is so weird, because when I was young, it was a place where your parents would tell you, okay, you can go there, but don't stay after 8, for example. Which is so weird now, because it's one of the best places to be, because it's so alive. I think Strada Stretta concept is probably one of the reasons why Strada Stretta itself, all of a sudden, is coming back to life. It's not to how it was. A bit differently. A bit differently. But it's really bringing it back.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely played a part in the revolution that's happening down there. And but Valletta itself it's got to be the most unusual capital city in the world, hasn't it?
Why would you say that?
Well, just 2 years ago, before the nightlife in Valletta started to blossom as it is beginning to do now, it was a bit of a ghost town, wasn't it? After 10 p.m. I mean, can you imagine going to any other European capital city and seeing everything shut?
That's true.
After a certain time, it really is the most unusual capital city, and it's so nice to see that it's finally got a lease of life. And I'm sure that the Valletta 18 Award has paid a huge part of that. And they do make a difference, those awards. I've noticed it just this year, because my hometown in the UK, Hull, is the UK City of Culture this year. Now, if I can describe Hull as I knew it when I was growing up, it was, I don't know whether this is going to be removed or not, but it was known as the arsehole of Britain. And I can completely see why. There was a book released called Crap Towns of the UK, and Hull consistently came out top. And it was top of every record which you don't want to be top of. And it was a terrible place to live. But this year it is the UK City of Culture.
How's that turning out?
Well, it confused a lot of people why Hull would get the award. Why would you give it to Hull when you've got so many amazing cities like London, Manchester, Birmingham, even where I went to study? But I think those cities are probably a bit too big for the award, really, because I think that the award is to give places which have potential but have been a bit down on their luck, give them an opportunity to show what they can really do. And Hull was a very, very worthy winner in that case. If you look at the bid which they made, it was by far the outstanding bid out of all the other cities which put in a bid. And none of them were particularly huge cities in terms of, on a scale of Manchester, Birmingham, London, but there were some good cities in there. And I think Liverpool was originally one of the cities who received the award, and it completely transformed Liverpool. Now you look at Liverpool and you think, that's a big, big city now.
No, that's true. Liverpool's, my idea at least of Liverpool changed drastically in the past 2 years. Huge, all of a sudden there's this huge community going on over there with the arts. Food-wise, it's incredible from what I'm hearing. And a couple of years ago, I'd have thought, okay, Steven Gerrard, but that's really it.
You just think of football and the Beatles, and that's all you would have thought about back then. Liverpool really was a crap town. It should have been on the crap towns list, along with Hull, if the book was written a few years previously. But now it is a huge, thriving city, and we're really hoping that Hull will do the same, because it's already showing. There's a lot going on this year. They've it appears as though they're rebuilding the city as well. I was there at Christmas, and I've never seen so many orange barriers up for roadworks. They've completely repaved the city centre and added in so many installations. So many nice things to see, fountains. The public areas are much more attractive to walk through now.
It's almost a bit sad, though, to a certain extent, that we need an award like this to kind of push, like, a town or like a country or whatever, to really push themselves to find, like, okay, we can make this better. This doesn't come naturally. There has to be an initiative.
It makes you wonder what the award actually does, though, as well, because I don't know about the European Capital of Culture Award, but the UK City of Culture Award is not money at all. It's a title. and then they have to fund everything themselves, and a lot of money has been raised. I'm sure having the title has given a lot of sponsors that inclination to donate some money. But no, the as far as I'm aware, the UK government gives nothing in terms of funds to the City of Culture. They give them this title, and then it's up to them how they deal with it. And the attractive thing about the whole proposal was they had something which the other cities didn't seem to have, which was this indication that they were going to build a legacy. This wasn't going to be a one-year thing, and then we'll go back to being the UK's crap town again. They had a plan of what they were going to do to continue this effect for the next few generations, hopefully. Yeah. And it's amazing to see what's going on there. In fact, one of my tutors when I was at music college, a fantastic composer called Evelyn Wallen, who's made a huge name for herself worldwide, but particularly in the UK. And she's there right now. She's writing a specially commissioned piece, which will be performed in Hull, alongside a lot of other composers. And there's lots of little opportunities like this which are coming up. Opera North have finally said they'll come back to the city after a very, very, very long time out. The Turner Prize is being hosted in Hull. That is probably the biggest coup which they could have received. The Ferens Art Gallery, which is a lovely, lovely art gallery in the city centre, has it's currently closed, actually, ironically, or it's only just reopened. There was a new acclimatisation project going on there to make it a bit more appropriate to store some particular works. And I think it's only just reopened, and they've got some fantastic new works in on loan. And then the Turner Prize will be hosted there as well this year. So there's a lot going on.
I mean, it must be nice, though. It gives, like, a certain amount of pride to think. I feel like there's a bit towards Valletta right now. Like, if I meet any tourist, I'm like, oh, it's going to be incredible. You have no idea. Or stuff like that, where I feel like it's really changed and it's getting really nice. It probably feels the same way for you with Hull.
Absolutely. I'm starting to feel a bit of pride for the city for once. I used to say, I'm from Yorkshire.
I would never specify.
And Yorkshire's huge. Yorkshire's huge. You can fit Malta into Yorkshire about, I think, 47 times.
Yeah.
It's enormous. So, yeah, I was very unspecific at the time. Now I'm quite proud to say I'm from the City of Culture. And now I'm very proud to say that I work in the European Capital of Culture very regularly as well. So I hope that...
Look at you go.
I'm trying to see if there's a way I can create a project to tie the two together. It's a bit unfortunate that they're kind of on separate years in a way. There's every 2 years, I think, the award is distributed. So they're not at the same time. Next year, Hull won't be the City of Culture. But I'm wondering if there's a way if we could maybe tie the two capitals of culture together, the UK and the European Capital of Culture.
That'd be very interesting. That'd be very, very interesting.
I need to think. You can speak to Dr. Shkembri Bonacci and see if he has any ideas.
One final question. Do you have an event coming up, Esperanza?
I do, yes.
Would you like to talk to us a little bit about that one?
Yes, please. That will be on Friday the 19th and Sunday the 21st. Not sure when this is going to go out, so if you listen to this a week later, it was last week and it was terrible. I'm joking. that's coming up on this weekend. We're in production week as we speak. It's been a very, very long, hard project. It's been very, very good fun. But there's been so much to do. I started writing this opera last summer. The difficult thing when I was writing it was that I didn't actually know who I was writing this opera for. I didn't know who the exact singers were going to be. When we held the auditions for the Teatro Manuel Youth Opera, that then gave us the idea of who was going to be singing what role. So in the month between the auditions and starting rehearsals, I had to flash write as much as I possibly could. The libretto I already had, the text was already sent to me from a friend in the UK who kindly wrote the libretto for us. So in that month I wrote as much as I possibly could, and then it's been a bit of a rush to kind of just stay 1 week ahead of the singers and present to them a new piece of music each week. So it was a bit of a slow process in that sense. But this opera was a practice run for the main Teatro Manuel Youth Opera, which will be happening usually in October every year. This was just a small studio opera for the singers to work on to get their first taste of contemporary music if they haven't done anything like this before. And also just to give us an idea of logistically how it's going to work, what do we need to know? So one thing we learned was that we need to give the composer more time. So the composer for the next commission, which won't be until 2018, I believe, she's actually coming down at the weekend to see the singers perform in Esperanza, so she has an idea of what kind of voices she's writing for straight away. So then she can start to write the roles accordingly. There will also be auditions which will be held the day after, on Monday and Tuesday. So she will then have a good year to write this music. A bit more than the month I had, but this is one of the ideas of doing Esperanza. It was a practice run to see if it's workable and what we need to do. And now we know what we need to do, so we're very confident that we can make a good opera in 2018. But the opera itself is based on a Maltese legend of Esperanza Talmoster. Yeah. I think most people will probably be familiar with the little chapel which stands above the cave where the young girl hid from the invaders, and the spiders weaved a web across the cave to conceal her. It's a lovely story. It's very nice, but if I'm quite honest, it does not make a good opera. Itself, it's a lovely story, but it would need a lot of elaboration to make it a workable libretto. So that's what we've done. We've presented it in a modern day setting. It's a modern day scenario. A girl in a nightclub has her drink spiked, and she's taken home and she's raped. And she is Esperanza. Her character is actually called Esperanza. And then it's how does she recover from this? And it is loosely based on the story, and unfortunately the invaders got her in this instance. But there is a spider figure, a personified character who is the personification of the spider, who comes in and does help her out along the way. So the story has found its way into a modern setting. Yes, that will be performed at the weekend. It's only a short opera, just 1 hour long, so I hope that we'll have a good turnout at least, because the singers have worked very, very hard on it, and I've definitely pushed them out of their comfort zone in many, many ways. But that was the nature of the job. It was to push them into a direction where they feel as though if they are faced with a contemporary opera again, which they will be in 2018, hopefully I've equipped them with the tools to handle what they will be dealing with. Fingers crossed.
Here we go. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wasalna fl-aħħar tal-programm Kreativita bla Konfini li huwa programm fuq Campus FM, organizzat mid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti fl-Università ta' Malta. Għal aktar informazzjoni fuq l-avvenimenti ta' Strada Stretta, sibuna fuq Facebook billi tfittxu The Strada Stretta Concept. Dawn l-avvenimenti huma konnessi mal-APS Mdina Biennale Concept. Nixtiequ ninformaw l-udjenza tagħna li l-APS Mdina qed jiġi l-Contemporary Art Biennale se jiġi mtella fil-Mużew tal-Katedra l-Mdina bejn it-13 ta' Novembru 2017 sas-7 ta' Jannar 2018. APS Bank huwa l-partner uffiċjali tal-Mdina Biennale. Għal aktar informazzjoni nħeġġukom tidħlu fuq is-sit elettroniku www.imdinabiennale.com. Grazzi tal-li naqgħdtu magħna, niltaqgħu l-ġimgħa d-dieħla.